Let's then, as we turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to stand. We'll be reading the Bible responsively. From verse 1 to verse 9, alright? Verse 1 to verse 9. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2, and so on until we finish at verse number 9. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Verse 2.
Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on shore.
You realize the preacher sits down while the congregation stands. Okay, maybe we should practice that. How about that? Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4.
And when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 9, let's read together. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, we pray you open our ears to hear the word of God. Lord, we are not asking you just to help us to listen, but we are asking you to help us to listen from our hearts. Lord, that we will understand what you want us to understand today. I pray for one, Lord, who have a heart that may not be fully ready. Lord, we pray that you will change the condition of our heart, that we might understand, listen to, and obey the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. Speak to us personally, Lord. And I pray that if one person has something in their heart once again that needs to be lifted up, need to be encouraged, need to be strengthened, I pray today, Lord, you will speak to them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Okay, what is the condition of your heart today? How many of you had an ECG before? Put out your hand. How many of you had ECG before? Okay, I also have an ECG before. Okay, it comes a time where you suddenly realize that sometimes you have a little bit of chest pains, and I think some people I know of one person who was very fit, and then all of a sudden when you're about 30s, 40s, you have this pain in the chest. And it's always good to have it checked, alright? Pain around that area. Pain is God's way of saying something is wrong. Pain is God's way of saying something is wrong. Okay, so we need to go and check it. It is God's grace. Did you know that? Do you realize even in pain, it is God's grace? Because if pain, it highlights the pain so that you can go and get some help. Amen? And so sometimes in life, God may bring pain into our lives just to highlight certain things so that you can get help. Alright, if you have medical problem, then go get medical help. But if you have emotional, spiritual problem, you know what? The best person to get help from is God. Amen? Because He made the heart. He deals with us from the inside. The Lord Jesus Christ had His ministry for about 3.5 years. The Lord Jesus probably lived about 33 and a half years. Alright, at the age of 30, He was baptized by John the Baptist, and then He had a three and a half year ministry. One of the things that Jesus Christ did when He taught the people was sometimes He went for the direct approach, okay, like thou shalt not kill, direct approach. But many times, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught things, He taught it in parables. He told stories. All right, and that is very interesting. What is a parable? Now, what is a parable? For Joshua, what is a parable?
Story.
Can you tell me some? What is a parable? Okay, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, okay? Since you agree with me. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ oftentimes used that. He uses common everyday situations which the people could identify with. And that's why sometimes I always use, like in the Singaporean context. Why? Because we as Singaporeans understand the MRT. We understand the EZ-Link. We understand different things. So it makes it easy for us to understand. You will find in the life and ministry of Jesus, He taught 39 parables. Alright? 39 parables. In Matthew chapter 13, it is unique. Alright? It's unique because the chapter has the most number of parables. Did you know that? Alright, just for your Bible knowledge, in Matthew 13, it has the most number of parables. These parables shows the progressive development of the church until the end of time. Okay, we're not going to go into that today, alright? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ use parables? This is a very important point for all of us to understand. Whenever we read parables in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ has a purpose. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The same question was asked by the disciples. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou to us in parables? Why don't you just tell us directly?" Jesus' answer was found in verse 12. Sorry, verse 15. Notice what he says. He says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, in their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, I should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." In reply to the disciples' question, the Lord Jesus Christ actually made very searching statement about the condition of the heart of the people. You see, in Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus Christ began, do you realize there was a starting point of Jesus using parables to teach? Because you see, the listeners, there were two groups of people. One group have already decided they are not going to hear the word of God. Those were the religious leaders and the Pharisees. There was yet another group whose heart was very tender. Those younger Christians perhaps. Those people who have, "Hey, I need to hear what God has to say." And I believe very much majority of us will belong to the second group, whereby our hearts are still tender. We still want to hear the word of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach it in parables so that those who will hear can hear. But those who have already resisted God will not be able to hear. The Bible says two things. Number one, the people's heart has been waxed gross. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows all things, made a critical analysis of the heart of the people. Number one, the people who came to hear, the Bible says in verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross. The word waxed gross means a layer of fat. The heart has a layer of fat. Last year, when I actually went to the nutritionist, alright, just to kind of get some consult about diet and all that, she said one thing which was very interesting. She said that if your liver has a layer of fat, it makes it harder for it to process things. Okay, it makes it harder. So if you lose weight and the fat is removed, your liver actually has an easier time. Alright, that's just in very simple terms. Fat, when it's over the heart, actually makes it hard for God's word to get through. Does that make sense? So it is a heart, we need to be sensitive. But Jesus said the reason why people cannot understand God's word and hear it is because there's a layer of fat around that. Okay? That layer of fat could be anything from my personal experience to my prejudice to what I think is right to what I think the world should be. That's a layer of fat. Okay, number one. Number two, in verse 15, okay, you don't have the right verse, I'm just giving you some of the things first, alright? In verse 15, Jesus also said, "These people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." Dull of hearing. The word dull means they have no sense of the hearing anymore. Their eyes have they closed. So which means that these people cannot hear and understand God's word is because they willingly chose to close their ears and eyes to God's word. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I'm teaching the people in parables because there is a group of people whose heart has chosen not to accept God's word into their lives. There are some people who perhaps are sitting here for many, many, many weeks and months, and you've known that God wants you to be saved, or God wants you to be baptized, to follow God. You know that God wants you to do certain things, but you know you've been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it away. Have you come to church? Have you ever come to church, and when you hear the word of God preached, you receive nothing as you leave the church? You know, I had one lady who told me, you know, every time I come to church, I must get something from God. That should be our attitude, amen? Every time we come to church, we must get something from God. In the fellowship, in the hearing of God's word, perhaps there are certain things that may be happening in your life, and you are listening, God, speak to me in your word. We must get something from the word of God. Now, here, Jesus gives four possible heart conditions. And I dare say, every one of us are involved in one of those four. There are four heart conditions that Jesus Christ highlights in Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the sower. So whether you are 4 years old, or you are 40 years old, or you are 400 years old, no one is 400 years old, whether you are more than 50 or 60, this message is for all of us. Why? Because Jesus, at the beginning of Matthew 13, begins to lay down the responses of the people to the gospel as the church is being built throughout the ages. Okay? So we're going to do that. I want to touch a few observations first before we go into the message. I want you to notice the sower is the same. There's only one sower. The sower is God Himself, or the preacher of God's word. Okay? The seed is the word of God. Which means that when I preach the word of God, that's why many of you will have the verses in your hands. Because it is not my words that will help you, but it is God's words. Amen? Because I'm not going to be able to help you to heaven. God can, through His word. Alright? The seed is the word of God. And look at verse 19, Matthew chapter 13. Verse 19. I'm going to go through a few verses very quickly. I want you to observe this one. In verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, look at verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth. Look at verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And then in verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth. The four conditions that Jesus is going to mention in Matthew 13, the one in stony places, the one in the wayside, the one among the thorns, and the one in good ground, all of them had one common experience. And what is that common experience? They heard the word of God. They heard God's word. And you know, this, we need to identify, Lord, which category are you putting me in today? And how am I to respond? Let's look at the first category, alright? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 4, he that sowed, and he sowed, some seeds fell, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Notice the first heart. The first condition is, it is the heart of no understanding. The heart of no understanding, or the wayside heart. You can look down to verse 19. It's interesting, those who came this morning, when we talk about Bible interpretation, Scripture will interpret Scripture, right? So in verse 4, we have that, some seeds fell by the wayside. In verse 19, is an interpretation. Jesus Himself interprets verse 4. Okay, so we don't have to look to any commentators. You can just read the Bible. You know what Jesus means. Verse 19. And when anyone heareth the word of God, of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Notice firstly, this heart was not ready to receive God's word. He was not ready to receive God's word. The wayside, you must understand a little bit of the agriculture of those days. The wayside is a part of the field that the plow, as a farmer brings the plow through, is the part that is not being touched by the plow. Does that make sense? If you look, I think in the Philippines or in India, you may have farming and all that. And so when the plow goes through, there are certain parts of the farmland that may not be touched by the plow. And I think in certain countries like in Australia, they usually are quite neat in sense of when they plow this area, then the farmer will kind of walk through this sandy part. Whereby no one, they don't touch that because they need the farmers to walk through as they scatter the seed or pluck up the weeds and all that. Okay, and so that is the wayside. It follows, therefore, the natural consequence is that the individual does not understand God's word. There's no preparation made. Just like when we plant something, we plow, but the part that is not touched by the plow is not prepared. So when I throw a seed inside, are you going to expect it to grow? No. Okay? So the first heart condition is, this heart is not ready to receive the word of God. This represents the individual whose heart is not in any condition to receive a word from the Lord. It can speak of a Christian, it can also speak of a non-Christian. It can refer to both. In other words, when we come to church, it's like, oh, I wish I could stay at home and fall asleep. Okay, Johnny, what are we going to talk about? Oh, I'm going to talk about that again. That song again. And then when I bang the pulpit, he jumps up kind of thing, you know. His heart is not ready. And so, what happens to him as a result? He comes into church one way, he goes out the same way. Okay? Number one, he's not ready to receive the heart. And secondly, the heart, not only is he not ready, he doesn't understand what is being said. Okay? That's what the Bible says in verse 19. He that heareth the word of God and understandeth it not. When we present the gospel to someone for the first time, do you think the person will know what you mean? Generally not. Okay, first time when you present the word of God. Sometimes after, how many of you up to now what I'm talking, you say, Brother Johnny, actually I don't understand what you're saying. You put up your hand. No one would dare to put out their hand. How many of you actually say, Johnny, I don't know, I catch no ball. You know, I catch no ball in Singaporean term means I don't understand what you're talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? Samuel, you understand what I'm talking about? Sure, I understand. I don't want to say, no, Raja, I don't understand. I don't want to be the wayside heart. But, you know, this heart is not only unprepared, they don't understand, and they choose to ignore the fact they don't understand. They will go home the same way, and they got nothing from the preaching of God's word. You know, that's why some people don't come back again. Because they didn't get anything. You see, if your heart is not ready to receive, you're not ready to understand. And if you're not ready to understand, you're not ready to come back to God, or you're not ready to come back to church. And that's something that we need to think. Understanding of the things of God is a key to genuine salvation. You need to understand what God says. I'm glad as I was speaking to some people as I was teaching them the Bible, and they were saying, when you read the Bible, you must try to understand the Bible. That is the key. How many of you, when you read your Bibles, in your own quiet time, in your own time of reading the Bible, you don't understand, and you close the Bible, and you walk off. You have a wayward heart. You have a wayside heart. Not wayward, wayside heart. A heart of no understanding. And you know what? The Word of God is not going to benefit you. You know what Jesus is saying? Look, identify the state of your heart. We need to work on understanding. Then number three, about the wayside heart. This heart is not prepared. He does not understand. And number three, this heart has the word of God snatched away by the evil one. Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one. The Lord Jesus Christ goes from agricultural application into the spiritual realm to help us understand that when God's word is preached, and God's word is heard, and God's word is not received and not understood, the devil comes in and tries to distract you straight away. You know how? There are many ways the devil can distract you. Number one, through what we call the Z monster. Do you know what is a Z monster? After you don't understand, what do? You slowly close your eyes. Number one. Number two, through a rock music inside your stomach. Very hungry. You begin to growl. Okay, that's why you need to take a little bit of coffee or cakes in between. before the service. Okay, so you can. Or immediately after the service, your friends will tell, "Hey, let's go and play." And then the word of God departs from your mouth. Question for you: why does the devil? That's what the Lord Jesus. Why does the evil one has to come and take away the word of God? Why? Do you realize one thing? I think Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Is it there? Do you have it in your? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The Bible says. Well, I can just quote from memory. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is quick and powerful. We want to answer the question, why does the evil one have to come and take away the word of God? Because the word of God is quick. The word quick there in the Bible means alive. The devil knows if God's word is kept in the heart of man, in time it will spring up because God's word will not return unto him void. That's why some of you do not have peace in your heart because you do not have God's word and allow it to grow. Because God's word is an alive thing. The devil has to get rid of it. He has to take it away. Otherwise it will grow up. But you know, if your heart is not prepared to receive, over time the devil will come and take it away. Some of you, I'm going to say something. Some of you know the way of salvation, but if you choose not to receive Christ, you know who is the loser in the end? Well, the devil is already going to hell. You know what? He wants to bring you along. Allow God's word to stay in your heart and let it grow. But the devil comes and pulls it away. The devil wants to get rid of it because he knows if he allows God's word to stay in your heart, it will take root. Do you know why the devil works so hard for all of you not to read your Bible? Because he knows if the word of God will just go into your heart and you understand it, you will grow. Life will get better. I would say better means doesn't mean, wow, you earn $1 million in the next 1 year. Better means you are able to handle the difficulties of life better. Does that make sense? And that's why God wants us to understand His Word. Alright? And so here, let me ask you, is the wayside heart your heart today? Are you ready when you come to church to receive God's Word? Do you understand what is being said? Or if you're not careful, the evil one, when you leave and go home from this place, will it pull the word of God away? Number one. Number two, is your heart a heart of no understanding? Number two, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. Okay, the first heart is a heart of no understanding. If yours is that heart, you will need God's help. You really need God's help. Number one. Number two, Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places. That's the condition of the second heart. It is called the stony or the unstable heart. The unstable heart. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Firstly, notice this, the unstable heart. Look at verse 20. He that receiveth the seed into the stony places, Jesus said, is the same person who hears the word of God and immediately, the word anointing means immediately, with joy receiveth it or welcomes it. Notice firstly, the person with an unstable heart, at the first time in receiving God's word, they are very joyful. That's what the Bible says. Immediately with joy, they receive the word. Now this is a reflection of many people who first become Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian. I want to live for God. I want to do what is right. I want to do, you know, I'll be baptized. I'll follow the Lord. And this is what I'm going to do. And sometimes when the word of God is preached, wonderful conversions, we're so encouraged and we thank God. You know, we must not minimize anyone who comes to Christ. It's an important time for that person and for us. We need to lead and guide that person. So the first one with an unstable heart is one who received God's word immediately with joy. Then notice number 2 in verse 21. Yet has he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. The second thing about this person is the Bible says he has no root in himself. The phrase "has no root" is very significant because it means literally no root. No. Absolute negative. In other words, it was just a response. That is one of the things. You know why our invitations are short? Because I do not believe in emotional times. That people, I need to come right to God. After you cry, you make a decision, you go home, you live your own life. I had one friend I know, and a group of us, me, another person by the name of Kayu, not K-A-U-Y, it's K-A-R-Y-E-W, okay? His name is Kayu. Then another person, and we were very concerned. We were in the Christian fellowship. When I was in JC, we were very concerned for one of the students who were in our Christian fellowship. You know what? She was always crying and making decisions for 1.5 years over the same thing. And you know what she was doing? She was just coming to church or coming to the Christian fellowship to get some relief. You need to be very careful. Don't come to church to get relief. To just get peace. You need to get the Word of God. Because God is more interested in changing your life. Just as a doctor, when you see a doctor, the doctor is interested in dealing with the problems in your medical condition. He gives you antibiotics, and if it's something serious, he may have to recommend you to see a doctor. When Jeremiah had a cut, he was bleeding when he was 3 years old. He was bleeding and all. And I quickly went into the clinic and said, "Excuse me, can we please see the doctor first?" Said, "Oh," because they had to let him because he's all bleeding all over the place. And so I went in. The doctor, one look at it, didn't even see him. "Go KK." Straight away. "We cannot handle this." He was sent to KK. And then the doctor was there. And he said, "I think we need to stitch it." He explained to me and my wife. We were there. And he had to stitch. And I could see him being put on the table. He said, "Pray for me." At 3 years old. Pray for me. Because they just gave him anesthesia. Then he knocked out. And they kind of sew his... Thank God, you didn't realize that he's there's not... There's, he looks okay, right? But actually, he's not. Just kidding. They actually had to sew, and the sewing was on the inside of the lip. Because when he fell, and you know, he was running, he was playing, and his lips actually tore. Open one big... And they sewed it back. But what I'm saying is the doctor actually had to go down deep to look at what the problem is so that he can help. You know? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. When you come to church, when you hear God's word, God is more interested in your life changing than just responding to the message. I don't know about you, I'm very encouraged by what God is doing, not what we are doing. Yeah, we thank God for faithful church members who are going out to win souls, who are inviting, or even our visitors who have been actively trying to get loved ones to be saved and trust Christ and come. And you know what? We are doing what we can, but it is God that gives the increase, amen? It is God that will bring the people. And as we do the job, but you know, over time, when you respond to the gospel, when you respond with these people, when they respond to the gospel, are they people of unstable heart? Whereby they don't understand, they just kind of, in the hype of things, they get very excited and they kind of join. This simply means they are responding to the message because it has been pleasing to them, but the message has not taken root in their lives. In other words, they got the message, but the message hasn't got them. They got the message, but the message hasn't got them. Does it make sense? I understand the gospel. I received the gospel. But the gospel hasn't taken root. I think a good example is, remember the Israelites in Exodus? How many people went out of Egypt? 2 million. They were all supposed to go where? To the promised land. How many people ended up in the promised land? 2. Make it clear, it's not just 2 people walk in the promised land. 2 that originally came from Egypt. Okay? You need to be very clear. Because as they were wandering in the wilderness, children were born and people were born. Okay? So there was still a big sizable group that went into the promised land. But only 2 persons. Do you realize, besides Moses, and I'm not too sure. It's just a rough estimate. Do you realize that 40 years of the 2 million of the population of Israel, do you realize God killed them because of what? Unbelief. They saw the works of God. They were excited about, wow, I'm going. But what happened when God, after God opened the Red Sea and closed the Red Sea, what happened? They started to complain. And then God had to judge them and provide for them again. Then after that, towards the end of their life, when they had to go over to the promised land, what happened? They said, no, 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 we cannot do it. And they began to reject God. For 40 years, God put 2 million people around the wilderness and had to kill every single one of them. Why? They saw, initially they were very glad, but after a while there was no root. Do you realize 2 million people, 40 years, you know how many funerals a day? Over 1,000. If I'm not wrong, you calculate mathematically. Over 1,000 funerals a day. You know why? It's a daily reminder you better put your faith in God. But yet, with the reminder again and again and again, the people just don't want to trust God. Let me ask you a question. Are you unstable in there? Why was his heart unstable? What caused it to be unstable? Look at verse number 21 in Matthew chapter 13. The Bible says he had no root in himself, but dureth for. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Can I say this? There are many people who initially become Christians or trust Christ, but when the crunch comes, you need to be baptized. Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And you say, no. I'm offended. You mean I become a Christian, I must do this and this and this and this. Well, if you're a genuine Christian, you will. If you truly trust Christ, if He's your Savior, you will be baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save you. Please be clear. But I'll say this again. I love my wife before she was married. And that's why I was willing to go through the marriage ceremony. But what if I love my wife and say, please marry me, and say, no, I'm not going to marry you. It's okay, you just live together and all that kind of thing. And what do you think? What would she think of me? You don't love me. If you're not willing to take the step of faith, you're not willing to take the step of wedding and marriage to marry me, do you love me? No. Okay? Love has already started. The marriage is just a public announcement of a marriage. As baptism is a public declaration of what has already happened in your heart, if you truly trusted Christ. You know, many Christians, when they're supposed to do something, and when I share with them the Word of God, or when they hear and they read for themselves, God, do I have to do that as a Christian? I don't think I want to do that. You know, there are some people who say, go to church, oh, can, but you know, don't expect me to do this, or give. You know what the Bible says? The person is offended by what? He's not offended by people, you know. The Bible says he's offended by the Word of God. He's offended by the Word of God. Because you see, God is not interested in religion. He's interested in life change. He's interested in life change. He's not interested in us just going through the motions. How many of you, if you're an employer and you have 5 employees, and the 5 employees just come to work and just kind of go through the motions, how do you feel as boss? Like, just do law, just clock in 8 a.m. or 7:59, I'll let the boss make noise. And then you go to your table, you're on the computer, first thing you're on is Facebook. The boss come, then after the boss go away, you start to look at your nails. Oh, what do that? Okay lah, I do lah. Do they finish? Finish, okay. Go back to Facebook. Oh, lunchtime! Okay. Oh no, it's 11:59, I must wait. I need to prepare myself. The computer locked down, lock off already because it's private, right? And after that, 1 o'clock go for lunch, and 2 o'clock Exactly, you come back to, oh, I've got a headache, I think I better take MC today. You go through the motions. How many of you would think that your boss would be very pleased with that kind of work? What makes us think that our dear Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, would tolerate the kind of going through the motions of a Christian? You know, we can be Christians, but you know what? God is not interested when we go through the motions. He loves us. And you know what? Every parent wants their child to be, I'm going to study, I'm going to study hard. No, Mom, don't worry about me. You can leave me alone. I'll study. I don't know, I'll ask you, that kind of thing. And you plan your time and you do your work and you're tired. I had one girl, she's 8 years old when I saw her. I'm a therapist. So I saw, and you know what? She would do her homework until 12 midnight. And her mom was so like, go and rest, you're tired. She's thin, she's thinner than, who's the thinnest one in our church? Gail? About Gail size. Okay, about Gail size. A bit shorter, yeah. Okay? And she would do her work up to about 11, 12 midnight, not finish. I said, go and sleep, girl, go and sleep. She said, no, I must finish my work. And she's in the band 190 and above, 100 and above kind of marks. Right? She always done very well. Okay, she does have a condition. She's Asperger's syndrome, right? So, but she felt that she need to feel accepted because she could do her work. But you know what? Mom didn't have to push her for her work. She does very well. She works very hard. You know, the mom actually, hey, you better rest. You know, does God, will God tell us, hey, Christian, you better rest. Don't do so much. We need to, you know, God is not interested in us going through the motions. He wants us to, you see, when God preaches to us, when He teaches us His word, will our hearts stumble? Trials will come. My son Jeremiah and Roy, they had a nice experience of having someone shout at them for telling the gospel, attracting, slamming the door in their face, you know. Some people, if that's the kind of Christianity, when I tell people the gospel, people kind of slam, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, that's a normal part of the Christian life. Okay? When God tells you to do something from His word, after you get saved, the next step is baptism. After baptism, on a daily basis, God wants you to read the Bible to grow. He wants you to pray. He wants you to obey your parents. He wants you to live a life that will honor Him. Are you willing to do that? No time. No, time is a big thing in Singapore, I know. But you know what? God still wants us to read His Bible, to pray, to help them to help you to understand. You know, in John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the 5,000 people, you realize one thing, this very sad thing. The Lord Jesus fed the 5,000. And the Lord Jesus takes care of them. Alright, let's turn to John chapter 6. Alright, let's show you from there. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In verse 28. The people, after they received the blessing of God, in verse 28, they begin to ask Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What must we do? Huh? You fed us, so now I want to respond to you. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That means that we might do what God wants us to do. In verse 30, they said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? The Lord Jesus, after they asked, what are we going to do so that we can do God's work? Then Jesus began to explain to them. Look at verse 40. Jesus told them, this is what you need to do the works of God. A genuine Christian will hear this and will do it. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, referring to Jesus Christ, and believeth on Him and Him alone, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day, at the last day. The Jews then murmured or complained at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. You know what was the first response to the teaching of Jesus? That guy is nuts. He said he came down from heaven. Let me ask you, did Jesus mean what he said? Was he the living bread? You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with the bread, immediately the Jews remembered what? You know that they remembered? They remembered the manna from the Old Testament when God gave them manna every day for 40 years. That's why Jesus then said, as your fathers were fed in the wilderness, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. That's why the Jews said, that guy is nuts. We ate the, you know why their heart was not ready? Or they received him initially. What must we do to do the works of God? But when Jesus told them, that is nuts. He said he's coming. Come on, you're a human being just like us. He didn't understand. You know, then in verse 60, after Jesus have taught them, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said unto him, does this offend you? In verse 66, look at John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why do people walk away from God? Is it because over time, whatever God told them to do, they didn't want to do it anymore? And they walk away from God. They walk away from God. Why? They were offended by the word. If I tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because he said, John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Does this offend you? I can go to jail for this, you know. Did you know that? In Singapore, in our multi-religious, we respect the different beliefs. But do you realize the Bible says, except you receive Christ, you will not go to heaven. But that's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus, does this offend you? Are you willing to accept this truth? For you Christians who have accepted this truth, are you then willing to tell other people at the risk of you also being opposed? Many Christians initially, perhaps in a whole group, they have a courage. But when they go, for example, in the army, when you go to the university, when you go to the school, in a church like this, and you're going out tracting and you're fellowshipping, there's a lot of strength. Does that make sense? You're very encouraged to do right. But when all you're by yourself in the school, when your friend starts to tell dirty jokes, when your friend starts to say, let's not do this, let's disobey the teacher, are you going to say, no, the Bible tells me I've got to obey God? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Does this offend you? That's why many Christians over time, they begin to vacillate. That's why they're unstable. In their hearts, they are not firm. I'm a Christian and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Are you unstable today in your heart? Are you the person with the wayside heart, or are you the person with the unstable heart? Let's move on. Number 3, Matthew chapter 13 verse 7. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 7. The Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung out and choked them. Then looking down to verse 22, Jesus interprets that verse. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Number 3, thirdly, is called the distracted heart. I call it the Singaporean heart. The Singaporean heart. Distracted heart. This heart has thorns. Now what are these thorns? Two thorns. Thorn number 1, cares of this world. That's what Jesus said. The cares of this world. The word care in the Greek language means literally to disunite. To disunite. To separate. Our mind is supposed to be focused on the things of God. I can't do this, but have you seen people... Okay. Where one eye is looking here and one eye is looking there, they call it cock eye or something like this. Alright? Now there's a problem, there's a medical problem, right? It means that the muscles are not strong enough to pull it back, alright? So please don't say, hey, why you like that? Why have you ever seen people that you look at them and you don't know whether they are looking at you or not? Alright, because the eyes are over the... Okay, there is a problem with the what we call the ocular muscles, alright, which is actually six muscles. And so some parts of the muscles are weak. And so one eye is supposed to focus here, but because of the weakness of the muscle, it actually pulls it in different directions. Okay, does that make sense? Alright, now, care number one, or thorn number one, Jesus identified is the cares of this world. This literally means to distract. It literally means to distract. A distraction is anything that divides your heart between you and God. Anything that divides your heart between you and God. You know why I call it the Singaporean heart? Because Singaporeans, we are so good multitaskers, but actually we are being distracted. We're being distracted. We're so distracted. You know why? Coming to church has become an appointment. No, coming to church should be a habit, natural. Sunday morning, wake up, nothing else, church. Should be a habit because we're Christians. Just like some of you are students, when you wake up in the day, do you when you get up on Monday to Friday, do you think, what am I supposed to do now? No, you get up, you brush your teeth, wash your face, take your breakfast, school uniform, go to school, right? You're not distracted, are you? You might be. But ultimately, you still have to go to school. Right? But why is it as Christians on Sunday morning, perhaps, should I come to church? Eeny, money, meeny, moe. Catch the tiger by the whatever. You know? Oh, yeah. Today, no, I'm not, I shouldn't be in church. I think because of... Yeah, I think... I've got a headache. All of a sudden, the headache comes. Distracted. Do you realize it's a heart problem that Jesus identified? Why is it as Christians it's so hard to follow God? You're distracted. That's what Jesus says. We're distracted. Thorn number one, distraction, and it's one of the strategies of Satan. Strategies of Satan. My wife and I, I'm sure some of you, you're sharing the gospel with someone and he's at the brink of accepting Christ. Father comes back. How does my father come back? I better don't do it. Distraction. Okay, of course then, together with it, intimidation. Thought number one, cares of the world. Thought number two, deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches means delusion caused by riches. Making the first million by a certain time. A lot of people have, now Singaporeans apparently have increased the number of billionaires in Singapore. Many people are very rich in Singapore. You know, many people, you know why they go into property? Fastest way to make money. Many of them are. You're a Bachelor of Arts. What do you do? Real estate. Very fast to make money. You can do it the bad way, of course. Remember the delusion of riches. There's always a promise of more money, but the Bible says that riches are deceptive and always will cause much heartache. Not saying it's wrong to have money. Right? Please be very clear. It's the love of it. Whereby you are so deceived by the fact that I need to make my first million. Alright, what's the result of this heart condition? What did the Bible say? The Bible says in verse number 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, the care of this world, and the deceitful and riches, what? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Some of us here have so much distraction in our life from the Christian faith that you are no longer winning souls for Christ. You are no longer reading the Bible. You are no longer praying. Your life has been dimmer and dimmer in terms of the Christian. Why? That's what the Bible says. Your heart is distracted. The things of this world, the deceitfulness, I need more money. I need. The heart is distracted. Why? Because our heart is not ready and we are unstable. Oh, sorry, we're the Singaporean heart. We're the stony heart. Oh, sorry, the thorny heart. God is saying this. Is it education? Is it career? Is it relationship? Is it anything that comes between you and God? Have you ever wondered why is it so hard to talk to some people, Christians, about God's word? Because their heart is distracted. It was my privilege to be able to sit with some of the people. When I share with them God's word, their heart is so open. They're so willing to listen. And the word of God just goes in. And you know what? The next thing they do is to start moving on for God. But for some people, you can share the word of God with them till the cows come home. It's an English phrase that means that till night time when the cows come home. They will not respond. Why? And they will always tell you, oh, you know, like, I got this line, I got that line, I got this line, I got that. It can almost become a song. I got this line, I got that. I got this line, I got that. You know, I got this line, I got that. My question, you got this, you got that. Let me ask you, do you have God in your heart? If you have God in your heart, you won't sing that song. Jesus identifies this as a real problem among people who, when they hear God's word, they start singing the song, I got this, like, I got that. I think children are going to sing to me. The distraction could be education, could be anything. They're so distracted, they only want to talk about what they want. I know a person was aiming to make his first $1 million. Okay, he's always aiming to make his first $1 million since he was in the early 20s. And I know him now, he's about 20, 40 years old. He's still aiming to make his first million, haven't reached there yet. He's always busy, starting it very early in the morning, come up late at night. He misses church, misses personal Bible study. And even after telling him again and again to put things first, his heart remains distracted. He claims that God is blessing him because God is opening different doors for him. And you know what? He is $40,000 in debt. He's at the brink of divorce with his wife. He is bitter against God and everyone else. Now what's his problem? What's his problem? Is it his wife? Is it his job? Is it the fact that he cannot manage his funds? No, his heart is distracted with the deceitfulness of riches. This is the curse of the Singaporeans. I know our government says meritocratic society. There's nothing wrong with that. But as Christians, we serve a higher principle, a God-given principle, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And I was sharing with my mom yesterday. You know, I can honestly say, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about what my children's future will be. Oh yeah, we think about it, we pray about it. But to literally worry for it, why should I worry when God's in charge? Amen? When God is your foundation in your heart, why do you have to worry? Some of you are here to look for a job. Why are you anxious? Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't let the world influence you with its agenda when God has given you His agenda. To be more like Christ, to learn to be at peace. Yes, fulfill your duties, do what you need to do. I know there are expectations at work and your bosses have expectations. But you know where? Somewhere along the line, say, God, help me to be faithful and all. You know what? Every time you come back, do you do those things that God tells you to do? Or are you so caught up with your life that you're so distracted? Is your heart distracted today? Are the cares and the deceitfulness of riches in your life pulling you away from God? Are the distractions in your life, is it your job, career, golf, or tennis or something else? Is it distracting you? When you're distracted by the things of this world, listen, Christian, you will be unfruitful. You will be unfruitful. Unfruitful. In the heart number 4, I'll show you what the fruit is, right? Let's go on to heart number 4 and then we'll close. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, but the other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some in 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 23, the Bible says, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some in 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here the Bible is very clear. The fourth heart is the obedient heart. The obedient heart. Okay? Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, the word of the words abide in you means it stays in you and you are actively doing what you need to do with regards to what God has told you. Ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Ye bear much fruit. God will only be glorified in the life of a Christian if you bear much fruit. That's what Jesus said. Literally from Christ's lips. You will honor my Father if your life is bearing much fruit. Ambassador Baptist Church, we will only honor God if we bear much fruit. Our vision is 1,000 souls for Christ in 5 years. We thank God. Today, hopefully, we'll see the second one. We only have 998 to go, amen? Only 998. And God can do anything, but we need to grow. We can only honor God when there's much fruit. We're not looking at mega churches, but we're looking at people getting saved, baptized, join the church, and following Christ. When we bear much fruit, we need to be obedient to Him. That's what biblical Christianity is, what you believe the Bible says. The local church job is to reinforce that through the correct teaching of the Word of God. Now, how do I get the Word of God into my life in order to bear fruit? Number one, you need to receive. Your heart must be prepared to receive the Word. Look at verse number 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground. The word receive means to welcome. You know, I've been in... How many of you have gone to houses? There was one situation, alright? There was one situation... I actually had a family over for dinner. There was many years ago. I just remember, just put in my head. And then someone came with a group of people, wanted to have a prayer meeting in my house, without asking me. No, not, don't worry, you all don't know who is it, don't worry. Don't try to guess also. In my heart, I was like, I don't welcome you now, I've got friends, remember? I'm having prayer meeting, so it's okay, you guys have your dinner, I'll have prayer meeting here. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't welcome that person at that time because I was already having guests here. And then, I don't mind having prayer meeting, but let me know first, you know? And so, still try to be nice, and sit with them for a while, that kind of thing. And after a while, they left, thank God, and I could carry on. But you know, when the Word of God comes, do we have that kind of attitude? Do we have that kind of attitude? Can I say this? God, when you're a genuine Christian, God should have first priority in everything that you want to do. Does that make sense? In other words, you may be going through life's way, but God says, I want you to change that. The proper response of a Christian is, yes, Lord, I'll drop everything else, I follow you. That is a Christian. A soldier fighting the war have a plan. Anything happens, and the commander shouts the order, change. You know what the soldiers have to do? The soldiers will not do this. Sir, sure not. We'll die in war. Yes, we'll move. I don't know why, but sir say move means we move. You know why? Because in the heat of the war, there's no time to ask questions. You have to follow the commander who is wise. Can I ask you, does Jesus know what is the best thing for your life? Because he's all wise, right? Then why is it that it's so hard for us to obey him? Our heart must be always in a prepared state to obey God. So number one, the heart must be ready, the obedient heart must be ready to receive the Word of God. Okay? The heart is prepared by prayer and meditation of the Word of God. Our heart thinks often on the Word of God. I have many verses here, but I will not because of time. Then number two, when the Lord speaks, He is ready to receive it. The Bible says, when the seed goes into the good ground, He receives it. That's what the Bible says. Let me ask you, do you welcome God's Word? Example is today. When all of us hear God's Word today. I know I talk a lot, but I hope you hear God's Word first. When God tells you to be obedient to Him, let me ask you, would you be willing today? Some of you need to be baptized. Would you be willing today? Or are there questions that you have to keep asking and asking? One friend, his name is Dominic. He's an Australian. Okay, Dominic... He was talking to the pastor. He was a very strong Catholic, and you know, he's an Italian family. Italians are more Catholic than anything. And so he had a friend in the church, and so he's been coming, and the pastor has been preaching, and the pastor has been talking to him. And one Thursday night, you know, he was sitting with the pastor, and the pastor was asking him, "So, Dom, so is there any other reasons why you cannot be a Christian?" And you know, he says, "No, not really." Yeah, would you like to trust God? Yeah, sure. You know? Yeah, he would have had a lot of questions, but can I say this? Can I say this? You can have questions forever. But I've learned, your question must lead to a conclusion about who Jesus is and your obedience to Him. Because forever you can ask questions. But the Lord Jesus says, there are some things that you just have to make a decision about. You have to decide. And sometimes you may not know what the consequences is, but you know what? When you decide, then God can open the door. And that's something very important for us as Christians to understand. Sometimes we say, no, I don't understand everything, so I won't do it. No, the Bible says, if you want to understand, you do first, then you understand. Some things you just don't understand until you do it. Agree? Some things you just don't understand until... A good example, some children eat food. They say, I don't like. Have you ever seen children whereby you give them food? Okay, I'll try. Why? That's a repentance there. Change your mind. You know what the Bible says? Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. He is good. It's just that people need convincing. So do it. Taste and see the Lord is good. And then when the word of God is preached, he responds. He's ready to receive it. The Bible makes it clear that secondly, the person, upon receiving the word, he understands it in his mind and is obedient to it. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it. The understandeth here means the understanding with the preparation for action or to act consistent with God's word. It means that I understand, this is my role, this is what I need to do. That's what understanding means. Understand means, oh, I understand. You know, when you share the Bible with people, oh, I understand already. Okay, so let's go for dinner. That is not proper understanding. Proper understanding of God's word is, I'm safe. Oh, I understand. Do I need to be baptized? Oh, really? Okay. Baptism is, okay. Can, I'll do it. That's biblical understanding. I understand and act consistent with the word of God, okay? And thirdly, very quickly, notice thirdly that the person's life after he received God's word is characterized or evidenced by fruit. There are two different types of fruit. Number one, the fruit of souls. If you're a genuine Christian, you will have the evidence of fruit of souls. You will want to tell people about Christ. Number two, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on. Your character will change. If you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian, but your character and attitudes don't change, things are not happening inside. Does that make sense? And it's something that God wants us to understand as we close. How do we avoid the first three and how to be fruitful? I just give you this. Number one, be honest with yourselves and deal with yourselves. You need to be honest. Do you have the wayside heart? Do you have the unstable heart? Do you have the Singaporean heart? Or do you have the obedient heart? Be honest with ourselves. Number two, seek to give God your heart. Proverbs 23 verse 26, the only thing that you don't, God owns everything in this world, but there's one thing God doesn't have. You know what He doesn't have? He doesn't have your heart. You know what? Proverbs 23, 26, the Bible tells us, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And number three, seek to obey God, whatever He has said, and start small. James chapter 1 verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You may be here today, but you have never accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Is your heart closed to what God has to say? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? No, when you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, it means everything that He says and commands us to do, we will. It's just that if I'm in the army, everything that my commanding officer tell me to scrub the toilet bowl, I scrub the toilet bowl. Last time, the army recruits or people have to scrub toilet with toothbrush. Horrendous stories. And they just do it. They have to do it. And someone, when I was in NCC, how many of you in NCC? Last time I was in NCC. This is a city. because the toilet wasn't clean, the encik made us sleep in the toilet at night. Bring our mattress there some more. Then he said, you have a choice. You better go there and clean the toilet and then you sleep in there, or you leave it as it is. Of course, it was very clean before they went in. Okay? Well, you know what the encik said? You just did it. Because he's in charge. So, no matter how foolish he asks you to do or what good things he asks you, you still do it. Why? Because the encik is in charge. The officer is in charge. Can I say this? If God is in charge of your life, we are not here for a religious buffet. You know, in buffet, you eat what you want, you don't eat whatever, you leave it aside, right? Genuine Bible Christianity is not buffet. Whatever God gives us, we receive. The good and the bad. And can I say, even the bad, God has a plan for our good. Shall we not receive good from the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? Who said that? Job. Are we just going to receive the good things from God and not the bad things? You know, Job, who went through the most horrendous suffering, the Bible says, didn't charge God foolishly, gave God the glory. Why is it that when God gives us a good, we receive, when God gives us a bad, we scold Him? No, we need to trust God, amen? What is the condition of your heart today? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray that, I know I've gone a long ways, but Lord, I pray that even as we end this month on the Bible, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will help us to understand. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask this question. What is the condition of your heart today? This is a special time whereby in your heart you can tell God, God, I know I have a distracted heart, or I know, God, I have an unstable heart. God, I want you to make my heart obedient again. Is there someone out there, say, Brother Johnny, there are many things happening in my life that I sometimes get very, very distracted, and I find my Christian life up and down and all over the place. And Brother Johnny, I need you to pray for me. I want to decide to be to have an obedient heart. I know God is speaking to me. I don't know what's going to be the consequences, but I want to be obedient to Him. Can you please pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Those hands. Amen. Just put it out, put out and put it down. And then before God, just pray, God, help me to be obedient. You know, start in the little ways. God is not expecting us. Amen. I see that hand too. Put it up and put it down. And then you pray. Amen. I see that hand too. Okay. Put it up and put it down. Just for those who may feel so overwhelmed, Lord, there's so many things I need to change, so many things I need to do. Start small. God is not asking you to go by leaps and bounds, to start small. And let God take control of the small things. And all it may be is just start praying and start just doing the little things that you know to do. Speak kindly, perhaps. And just say, Lord, you take control. Is there anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will give me an obedient heart. Alright, before we close, one more question. If you are here today and you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, we're not here for your money. We're not forcing you to join the church. We just want to share the words of life that Jesus gave us with you, that you might have eternal life too. Is there anyone? Say, Brother Johnny, if I die right now, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You might just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Now get someone, a man with man, lady with lady, to share with you the gospel of Christ that can save our soul. Is there anyone? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the people that put up their hands. God, I can see that you are working in people's lives. It's only between you and them, Lord. I might be the pastor, but I'm still human. I don't know what is in their heart. But you do, Lord. And the fact that they put up their hand means that something is happening in their hearts. Father, I pray for you to touch their heart. I pray, Father, from now on, every time they read the Word of God, they will have an attitude of saying, Lord, I want you to to touch me again. I want to hear your voice. Lord, I want to be obedient. I know there's a price to pay. But God, I know that if I'm consistent, I'm going to help myself to grow in Christ. I'm going to help my family to grow in Christ. I'm going to help even my loved ones to grow in Christ. And then I'm going to help other people to come and grow in Christ too. Lord, I pray you give them the strength. Lord, I know it's of a sincere heart that they put up their hands. Lord, we need your help. Lord, they have decided, but we need your help. Lord, we pray. You promise, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You promise that you will give us the strength. You will be with us, Lord. You promise in the book of Isaiah that you will lift us up, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the arms of strength. Lord, you lifted the Israelites out of Egypt and you bore them on eagle's wings. Father, we pray for that strength, for that spiritual strength within our hearts. I pray for everyone who may have a struggle in their life and they have to surrender and they have to do certain things, Lord, to give it up. Lord, I pray that you give them the strength to do so. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will lead us in a special way. And that God, thy Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us your word that will bring life to our soul. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And Lord, even as we'll just move forward to the testimony time, I pray that you will encourage our hearts with what you have done. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.